And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I said amen.
Amen.
The word will enter your hearts again this evening.
Amen.
Say amen like you believe it.
Amen.
It will give you light.
Amen.
It will give you direction.
Amen.
It will heal you in every area.
Amen.
Spiritually, healing has come to you.
Amen.
It will heal your soul.
Amen.
Heal your emotions.
Amen.
Heal any confusion in your life.
Amen.
It will heal your body.
Amen.
It will kill off every infection.
Amen.
It will kill any tumor that's starting to develop.
Amen.
Or the one that has been diagnosed.
Amen.
They are dead today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He sent His word and the word healed them. The word delivered them from all their destructions. I said, you are delivered today in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that word is making you exactly like the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
All
the time. Can we take our seats? Let's get into our school of prayer teaching for this evening. All right, can we open our Bibles to our school of prayer to the book of Matthew chapter 6? I've been talking about this effective prayer thing, and I believe it's just the word for the moment. For us to pray effectively. And last time I was talking about how faith that is sure, faith that will not disappoint, how it will come into our hearts. And we said that only happens if we have our desires derived from the Word of God. If you have desires derived from interactions with the environment alone, it will change. And the faith will falter as the environment changes. If you are making specific, requests of the Lord, detailed requests, but they are based on things you have seen, after a while, you will not be as confident as you were at the beginning. And I said that Jesus said that in that John chapter 15, abide in me, if my words abide in you, you will ask what you wish, and it will be given to you. Don't ever forget when Jesus is speaking, take the context of His words. Remember, there's always a context. He was speaking to His disciples when she said, you can ask the Father for anything in my name and it will be granted you. What are the conditions around it? It's summarized by a simple expression. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. And what we're saying is that if those words abide in you, they generate something in you. They generate desires. And let me just, at the risk of repeating myself, you can't repeat these things enough. Abraham's desire for Isaac was not based on his own wishes. His prayer about Isaac. When he approached God, he had given up on Isaac, on any of those things happening. So he asked God, what do you give me, seeing that I go childless? It was God that came up with the idea again that you will not go childless. I am going to give you a son by your wife Sarah. That was God's idea. So hope, I've been explaining this. Hope is not a wish. Hope is not something you have. You now look for the scripture to make it certain. Hope is a derivative of interaction with the word of God. When you read scriptures, you will see something that God has promised. Are you getting my point? Something that He said that He wants to do. That now gives you a new expectation. It gives you something different to want out of life. That's the point. I like one thing Ken Hagin said in one of his teachings. A woman he went to minister to. All right, the woman was dying from terminal cancer and he couldn't pray for her to be healed. Why? He said, first, I needed her, do you understand, to expect to live. I needed her to want to live. That is, without her having an expectation, there's no point praying. And that's what God does. When the Bible says that Abraham, in hope, against hope, he believed. What that means is that circumstances around gave him an expectation. Then the word of God produced another expectation. And that was the new hope, was birthed. Hope is birthed by God's word. Hope is not birthed by personal desires. Hope is not birthed. You don't get hope out of what the world is showing you. Your hope must be derived from the Word of God. So you see, every interaction in life tries to bring an expectation. It creates a desire in you. If you look at the environment, that's why people, every time you hear them make decisions, you know, before I used to get up pretty upset with people, but now I'm a bit calmer. And the reason is because I know they are not seeing what I'm seeing. I used to think the things that's making me talk are things that everybody could see. I just realized that after interacting with the Word of God for a long time, you have a different expectation from life. You have a different expectation concerning what God will do for you. You have a different expectation concerning what your life will turn out like. And people who are making decisions that you don't like, they don't have that perspective. They don't have that perspective. They have the perspective of newspapers. They have the perspective of other people's experiences. So when they are making their decisions, they choose based on what they are expecting. Do you understand my point? That's just the way it is. So there's no point getting angry with them. The only thing you can do is to instruct people. The only thing you can do is to instruct them with God's word. It's only that instruction that can change what the decisions they make. It's not just because you don't like the way the mind is deciding. You can argue until you are blue in the face, except you have a different perspective from God's word presented to a believing person. He or she can never change the decisions they are making in life. That's just the way it is, all right? So when we interact with the word of God, it generates ideas in you. It's very important for us to get it. It generates desires. The word of God generates desires. It makes you want some things, all right? There are things you never thought about before. That's why I was giving Isaac as an example. Isaac was God's idea. When the word of God comes to you, it gives you a different expectation. Now, what you now start doing, you start praying those things into existence. And I want to talk again, of course, we've been talking about this again and again, but we can't say them enough. I want to just explain again how we pray prayers, okay? So that God answers. When the Bible says that you pray according to His will, He hears. That is what He's talking about. When you pray according to the word that is written, and you pray for the things that the entrance of that word generated, you will get results. You will get results. Prayer is a weapon that God gave us to overcome in life. It's a tangible weapon. It's a tangible weapon. It's like you are plotting. You are planning something. It's okay. How much money are we going to need? You say, all we have is 5,000. Say, but we're going to need about 95,000. So they say, okay, what do we do? You say, all right, let's pray about the balance. You say let's pray about the balance. Like some people will say, let's go and meet the bank manager and let us borrow. You just say it matter of factly. We will pray about the balance. You're not trying to say that, hey, we never can say what God will do. Asking God about the balance is as tangible as your friend going to somebody who has and say, please lend me 90,000 because I need it to do this. It is pray about the balance. And you say it matter of factly. We'll pray about it. And you're not saying as if, let's just wish it away. No, I will solve this problem. How will I solve it? I will pray. You are getting my point? That's just the way it works. That's what prayer is. It's a very tangible thing for us as Christians. But how do we get prayers? How do we pray prayers that God will answer? That's what we've been talking about, effective praying. Now, let's just reopen this, open our Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 6. The book of Matthew chapter 6. How do we pray the prayer that's according to God's will? I made a statement last time. That's actually where I want to pick up from. That prayer is taking God's will and making it your own. That is, when I'm praying effectively, I'm beginning to desire what God desires. I am not trying to get God to change His mind into my own desire. Please let me take a moment and explain that. That's Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to get there in a moment, all right? Let's start reading it. Talking about the Lord's Prayer. We'll talk about that all the time. But please remember what prayer is. It is not me trying to get God to agree with my desires. No. No, no. If you make God change His mind to agree with you, you will not be blessed. I'm telling you, it's a matter of fact. Please, if you make God change His mind to agree with you, you will not be blessed. Now, this weekend, we're in Port Harcourt teaching a prayer seminar. And what I taught about the first day, I prepared, all right, of course, you meditate, you pray, and have something in mind. Then that morning, and I said, let me just even pray again. And I began to meditate. And my mind just said, go and study Hannah. So I opened it. And that morning, that first day, that was what I thought on how did Hannah get God to listen to her. What was it that Hannah did that was different? Very important for us to get that point. Now, Hannah, you go and see it. When Hannah made her vow, the way many of us look at it is, and many preachers will teach it, concerning vow, making vows to the Lord. Well, Hannah is our example, and actually she's well misunderstood. That vow to God something, and that thing will provoke God to give to you. So somebody will say, God, if you give me 100 million naira, I will give you 50 million out of it. And you know what God says? Don't worry, I will just keep the 100 million. That way I don't have to share it with anybody. Do you follow my point? If it's a sharing arrangement you are thinking about, think about it. He said, God will say, no, I'll just keep the 100 million. Then I don't have to share it with anybody. Now, follow the point, all right? He said, but Hannah did that. I read my Bible very well, and I found out that Hannah did not give Samuel to God. She did no such thing. The only thing she gave to God was a bullock that was 3 years old. That's all. He said, what about Samuel? God said, Samuel is my own. You just gave him back to me. It's part of the covenant. Every male that opens a womb is mine. I only give you the right to redeem it. And Hannah just said simply, I will not redeem this one. You can keep him, but I will give you the gift of the redemption, which was the bullock that she took to the temple after 3 years. Hannah didn't cook up anything that God never thought of before. God had told them, every male that opens the womb belongs to me. And those who did not do it are the ones that were at fault. Hannah did nothing special. She was just somebody that finally recognized the terms of the covenant. We look at this and she gave God a tremendous gift. It was God said it clearly. This covenant, this boy is mine. She's just one woman who the Lord helped to open, to have open eyes, to let God do what he wanted with what belongs to him. So to save the boy's life, she offered a sacrifice. That boy belongs to God before he was conceived. You see the story of Jeremiah. God let us know it. Paul also let us know it. That every child, before they are conceived, God knows them and he has a purpose for their lives. Paul said, God who knew me from my mother's womb. God says clearly to Jeremiah, before you were formed, I knew you. I consecrated you to be a prophet. What am I going to say? I keep on telling people, you cannot forget this one, promising God. Anything God has never asked for, you can't give him. Don't offer it. It will get into trouble. If you don't see him demanding it, don't offer it. This trying to cut deals with the Lord. If you give me 10 million, I'll give you 5. He doesn't like the deal. Many of us think he likes it, but he doesn't like the deal. If you're a stingy man, become generous. That's good enough. Go ahead to Isaiah chapter 58. He says, this is the fast I have chosen. He now listed his fast. If you see the fast that God said he chose, it's not about food. It's about changing the way you behave. So if you are a stingy man before, don't offer God a percentage of the money that he's going to give you. Just become generous and don't even talk about it. Are you getting my point? Repent of your sins or your sin of love of money, which is the reason why people are not generous. What does it mean to love money? To trust in it. Doesn't mean you look at the money and you are hugging it and you are kissing it. No, that's not the love of money. Love of money means anytime you want to make a decision, is how much money is involved that's up in your mind. That's it. The Lord just says, repent of that. Just repent of it. Repent of it. That's what I'm talking about. You're not coming here, all right, to make a deal with me as if I was hungry, I was broke. If I give you 10 million, you give me 5. It's like we're going to rob a bank. You know, we'll share it. If that was the deal, I keep my money to myself. And that way I have 100%. You're getting my point, yeah? All right, like my son comes to me, daddy, give me 10,000 and I'll promise I'll give you 5,000. So don't worry, 10,000 is with me already. Leave it like that. Why I went into this is this. Prayer is not I'm converting God to my own thoughts. No, it's I'm converting myself to his thoughts. Hannah's issue was that her problem was Peninnah before. Did you notice that? Yeah. By the time she went to pray, notice it, she did not say anything about Peninnah. It's not saying my husband's mother doesn't like me. Not at all. She just went and I don't have time now to go into it again. She went there, spoke to the Lord, asked for mercy, and it was interesting. When I was studying that day, I noticed that the Bible emphasized that after eating and drinking was when she went to pray. You don't believe it? Open your Bible. 1 Samuel chapter 1. No, open it. People think I'm kidding. Sometimes when I just think, people think, this guy doesn't know what he's saying. Quickly open it now. You will see that what I'm saying there is so scripture. It is so much the word of God. Now, if you read, the story, of course, is the normal story that we all know. Anna will cry, Penina will mock her, they will have their disagreement. Then one day, verse 8, when she was crying, Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? And why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Are you seeing that? Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. You have seen that for the first time, so many of us. Before, when she was not eating, was out of sadness. When her husband encouraged her, the Bible says she ate and drank and then went to go and pray. I'm waiting for you to repent. Before I continue my message. Did I write that? So is it your Bible? The woman first ate and drank before she went to start the prayer. Yet God listened to her. Then she prayed and she did not shout. Did you notice? Her voice was so low. When Eli saw a mouse moving, and he didn't hear anything, he said, this woman must be drunk. You are getting the point? So God didn't listen to her now because she knew how to shout. Now, I'm just coming from a prayer meeting, all right? I've had two meetings today. One of them is a prayer meeting. And I noticed that we're three praying, and I was the one leading the prayer. We're praying about something. And I noticed that if you are passing by, it's only my voice you'll have heard. The two other people, one was on my left and one was on my right. Not because I was seeing them, that I knew they were there. But now you hear a small murmur, somebody just talking. And just before we finish the prayer, I just had this strong feeling that this prayer is very effective. Why? Because we are praying about something. I was the one leading the prayer. We're just taking this word of God out, and I'm just leading the people, this is what God says. Let's repeat the word to him. This is what he has said. Let's lift it up to him. I just kept on doing that. And everyone was quiet because we're in a government office. So people didn't raise their voices. I'm not saying raising your voice is evil, but does not increase the efficacy of your prayer. That's what we are saying. Anna ate and drank and went and prayed. But the one thing I just want to bring out is that her vow was a vow of connecting her will to that of God. It wasn't that of promising God something he lacked or he didn't know. It's something that God said is my own. She just yielded. That's why I brought this up again. Prayer is about yielding our will to God. It's not about taking our desire to God and say, God, you must approve this. No, it's about making ourselves subject to the desire of God, loving what he loves, desiring what he desires, and saying to him, let your desire be effective in my life. That's what prayer is. And that's why Jesus emphasized, prayer is only effective after the word has entered into you. Let me just end this, the gist of Hannah, because we talked about it at length. You can get some of the message we are bringing from there, that we brought back from Port Harcourt. The last part of it is that, of course, we've talked about the vow briefly, and then after Eli spoke with her, Eli answered and said, go in peace. If you read modern translations, they tell you, may the God of Israel. It was not a prayer. What he said literally is this. Go in peace. The God of Israel grant you your petition. It was a declaration. It was a prophetic word. How do I know that? Look at how Hannah responded. Instantly, the Bible says, Hannah said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. That is, instantly she took hold of the word that the prophet of God in this situation released, and it changed her perspective of life. He changed how she reacted. After this point, Penina could not trigger this woman again. She had a new hope based upon a prophetic word that came to her. Are you getting my point here? Now let's just leave that. So I'm just going to use that one to emphasize that it is ours taking our will, subjecting our wills to the will of the Father. Now, let's read that Matthew chapter 6. These are the Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Verse 7. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now let me just stop reading it there. Now I read this to bring out the issue of that will. It said, your will be done. It's not my will, it is your will. That is what prayer is. John said, this is the confidence we have towards him. That's 1 John chapter 5. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now let me just say this again. That will does not mean we leave it, God, anything you like, you do. That's not the meaning of asking according to his will. That is the judgment of God. God always does his judgment. Anything he decrees, nobody can subvert it. But why is praying his will a point in prayer if the will happened automatically? It is simply because it does not. What happens is that we have to consciously, we have authority on the earth, we have authority in our lives. What we do is to consciously take his will and pray it into existence. We convert our wills to his own will. And that's why we've been talking about this here and there in the last few meetings, that we must learn the things that God said he wants to do. Bear it in mind. Last time we said, he said, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as an inheritance. So God does not like, he can answer them, but really doesn't like us praying small prayer points. When we come to him, if you look at it, the issue of food, drink, body, what do we wear? He said, say those things in a dismissive fashion. What does it mean by dismissive? Alright, say it so that you know you have said it to the Lord. Say it once and leave it there. Because the Father knows the things that you need before you even ask him. Now, when we are coming to prayer, therefore, he wants us to ask for things that if your neighbor will hear, we ended last time with it, they will wonder whether you are okay. Do you understand? There's a story I've told many times. Pastor Tunde Bakare went to Pastor E. Adeboye, and he went and asked, because E. Adeboye will come to church, and as many pastors would let them know the need they have in the church, our keyboard is sounding like it has sore throat, and then the wind roof is leaking and stuff like that. So brethren, please remember, bring an offering for those things. And Tunde Bakare said he used to be provoked that why will pastor be coming to church and be asking for small money? So he went and met him and said, sir, pray for me that God will bless me. I want to end that announcement. I don't like that announcement. If God blesses me, I will be sure you don't have to announce like that again. So, Pastor E. Adeboye blessed him, and the man left. And as soon as he left, God answered the prayer. And now what was the answer? They sacked him. The first thing that happened was that he was fired. So he came back to church and told his pastor, sir, I think you didn't tune the right frequency in that prayer. How did you mix the prayer? I said, pray that the Lord will bless me. This week I went to work, I got a termination letter. And then Pastor Adeboye started laughing. And he didn't know what was funny. I was sitting down on my own. I came to you to pray that God will lift me up. Now I have gone to prison. They have accused me of running after Potiphar's wife. Not only have they done that, you are laughing about it. Ask of me, and I will give you what? The nations. That's what I'm talking about. And then the man of God told him, I know what I prayed. I'm not using my own words now. I got the gear right. In fact, the prayer is working. It's just that the dose was too high. I prayed a large dose of prayer, and the result is so big, your office cannot accommodate it. So God needs to remove you from there so that you have space to accommodate the blessing. He said, what do I do? He said, you have been fired for such a time as this. So that God might manifest his blessing in your life. He said, go and start your own practice. He's a lawyer. All right. Then he was working somewhere else. And he said, you don't seem to realize this, sir. There is a law that bans people like me from standing on their own. I don't have enough experience. All right. He said, well, that's the only thing I have to say to you. So he went back home and he was praying. I think at a point in time, I don't know, let me make sure I get my story right, but at a point in time, a scripture dropped in his mind. Open your mouth wide and I will feel it. And he decided, no, this must be the word of the Lord. Are you getting my point? Now, let me make a long story short. He began to declare that word. Now, I'm going to add many things together because I don't have the details of the story. But I can imagine I began to ask God for something that he never thought of before. Before that, until the pastor said that to him, he did not think it a possibility for him to own his own practice. It was when he left that the possibility came to his mind, but there's a law banning it. But God moved angels. Next time he was watching TV, the Supreme Military Council had met and they had decided that that law was not necessary. He was watching TV and discovered that the decree had been wiped out. That now, if you're a lawyer younger than the one we thought about before, you can still own your own practice. And the first job he got, they paid him what he used to earn in 2 years. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Ask of me, and I will do what? I will give you the nations as an inheritance. So God has given us a prayer point in that area. Our will is not, look, the man wasn't thinking of it. It was God that brought up the idea to him. It was God's idea. It was not his idea. I hope you're getting my point here. And that's what we've been talking about. For us to interact with God's word. What is prayer? It's for me to subject my will to God's will. What is the will of God? The will of God is that, like Jesus said, thy will be done, all right, on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I've explained this many times. The heaven aspect of that is not like it's being done in heaven. No, that's not what Jesus said. That will be done on earth as it is written in heaven. That will be done on earth as it's been predetermined in heaven. That will be done on earth as it is recorded in heaven. That was what he said. And now what do we have in our Bible? Our Bible is a revelation of the will of God. Do you understand my point here? That is why it is not possible to pray effectively except you read your scriptures. It is not possible to pray effectively except you know you get to know things. You know, yesterday I was coming back from Makurdi. That was on Sunday, sorry. I just got a message and they told one of our very dear brothers they had been kidnapped. You understand? And I said, what? I was really, really provoked. I was very, very upset, you know. But I just, you know, I just went quiet. I began to pray in the car. I didn't see anything. I was driving with Tude Chukwu, but I didn't see anything after that. But one scripture dropped in my mind. That's why I'm talking about it. One scripture, because that's why I pray these days. If you bring a matter to me, the first thing is, Lord, which scripture applies to this? That's the first thing that comes to my mind. Which scripture applies to this? And one scripture just swam into my mind. The rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. I knew it was the word of God. I immediately just typed a small prayer request to some of our brethren and said, please, I added a few scriptures to it. I pray. I thank God for many of the prayers we used to do, but that's how I pray these days. That's how I pray. I just find a few scriptures that the Lord had expressed his will concerning. Let me say something here. If you experience something in life that is different from what is recorded in scripture, what God is just saying, enforce your right. It's not saying, some people say, it now proves that this thing does not work. It doesn't prove it. It means your house has been broken into. Thieves are always trying to break in and steal. God left them on this earth. It means things have been broken into in your life. So it now says, enforce it. Why did he tell Adam, guard it and keep it? I mean, the way we look at it, everything was perfect that time, right? Yeah. But yet he gave him an instruction, guard it, keep it. How do you keep it if it does not look like there will be a reason to lose it? Why do you keep it if it doesn't appear like somebody is going to take it away from you? Why do you guard it if there will be no intruder? Guard it and keep it in a perfect environment. God was setting us up there to know that I give you something, somebody will try and collect it. When Jephthah was leading the charge, he told the people, that, look, when God gives you something, he said, when Chemosh, your God, gives you something, don't you possess it? He said, God has given us this land. It is now our duty to what? Possess it. And they were already in that land. Somebody wanted to dispossess them of the land. So they said, we must, there's dispossess, there's repossess. What is the thing between dispossessing and repossessing? We must possess. That's it now. There's nothing else. So they were saying, in effect, this one that we have like this, we must hold on to it. So you wake up in the morning and you are sick. It means there's what? an attack. Now, these attacks will come. It's not from your neighbor. I don't like using the word attack as if your neighbors are attacking you. No, it's not your neighbors. The Bible says your adversary, the devil, is going around seeking whom he may devour. This is a matter of fact. Many of the things you hear, I mean, when I say here now, you hear it in your body. It's a roar. He's trying to say, are you devourable? Then you wake up this morning, you don't think much about it. There's a headache there. It stays. Next day it comes. Ah, the thought is still there. It's a roar. It's the response everybody's waiting for. This headache. Is this not migraine? It's been here for 3 days though. It's on one side of my head. I think it's migraine. Yes, it is migraine. The devil said, this guy is devourable. So he tunes up the volume slightly. And in your mind, you are warning, let me wait it tomorrow. If it comes again the same time, I know it's migraine. Ah, the devil said, no, you don't need to wait. It is migraine. Your things have been attacked. So what are you supposed to do? Fight back. That's why it's called the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. So we take the will and say, once that headache is there, look for the will of God. It's the same scripture we have learned for over 20 years, 30 years. Himself took my infirmities and my diseases. By his stripes, I have been healed. That's how you resist Satan. The fact that it's an attack does not mean you have lost the battle. It just means reinforce, counterattack, push back. That's all it means. That is all it means. What is prayer? Prayer is my will. I subject it to the will of the Father. What is my will? I want to whine and complain. What is my will? I want everybody to feel sorry for me. What is my will? Remember that joke? I want to send a text to the office. Please, sir, I involved in Okada accident. I'm still unconscious. I can't come to work. I mean, you not seen that joke? You guys say, I'm still unconscious. That is my will. I want to find an excuse not to get up. I have an excuse now not to go to work. I have an excuse not to go to church. I have an excuse not to go to where I was supposed to go to. That's my will. But, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Thy will be done on this body, in this body that's on the earth, as it is recorded concerning it in heaven. How I feel, that's what I've been trying to emphasize for the last few meetings. How I feel is not how I generate prayer points. What I want is not how I generate prayer points. It is what is spoken. That matter I was telling you about, I just gathered the scriptures, put them together, forwarded to a number of people. Brethren, please pray along. This is what God has said about this situation. We take God's word. Are you getting my point? We elevate it. The circumstances around must not be allowed to make us change our minds. That's what I'm talking about. So just put the scriptures together as everybody, and believe me, that's how I pray these days. Anything come up, I find a word that God has spoken about the situation. And then I leave that word up. Let the word do what it wants to do. So we have been attacked. Well, not a problem. What are we supposed to do? Repel. Repel it what? The shield of faith and the sword of the spirit. Both of them, the word of God. The fact that we are holding on to the word of God is the shield of faith. As we are uttering the word, lifting it up constantly, that's the sword of the spirit. And remember, that word is alive. It can think. In this situation, he made the brother escape. Wow. That's how I've learned to pray these days. Take one word. This is the word. I need money. God sent 2,005, sent 2.5 million. I don't say that much anymore. I can discuss that with my wife. But the prayer is the scripture lifted. Lord, there is a situation. It is written. I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes all grace abound towards me. I have all sufficiency in all things. I abound to every good work. That's it. He supplies my need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I can repeat that 100,000 times. It is not vain repetition. It is the will. Do you get what I'm trying to say here? What is prayer? Prayer is, I take my will, I throw it aside. I take his will and I make it my own. It's not how I feel. And what is that will? That's what we're talking about. The will is that which is revealed in scripture. When it says, thy will be done, it was not something nebulous. It is that God has spoken something about every situation of life. How do you pray currently? You know, there's a small political issue in Nigeria right now. You know that. The president is ill. Now nobody is saying he went for a checkup anymore. He has gone back. Nobody's arguing over, is he sick? Is he not sick? Is he checkup? Is he waiting for test results? Nobody is saying that anymore. Now the next argument is that is the president, is the acting president an acting president or a coordinator? People will now sit down and decide it is a cabal that coined the letter. The senators have settled it that there's a constitution, the section that was quoted, and that section has solved the issue. But that's not our discussion. But Christians get distracted into those discussions. Who are members of the cabal? Father, in the name of Jesus, cabal, fall, be decabalized. You cabal. People say all kinds of things about cabal. Please, let me just say something there. Don't let politicians manipulate you. Don't let newspaper manipulate your prayer point. One of the best jokes I've heard read in recent times is the person who fell sick trying to see division between APC and PDP during Babangida's daughter's wedding. And he looked and looked and looked, and he fell sick because blood pressure rose too high. He couldn't see them dividing. Say he saw Bola Tinubu sitting down beside Goodluck Jonathan and he's wondering what happened. I enjoyed the joke. I really, really enjoyed it. There are many people in hospital right now because their heads can't understand. We are here fighting amongst ourselves. These men are there sitting down celebrating a wedding and nobody is quarreling. What should a Christian say? That's what I'm saying. You pray what? The will of God. You don't pray your own will. You don't pray your own political persuasion. I like to say this, even though it appears like a bit of bragging, but it's a matter of fact. The last election, everybody thought I was going to vote for the person I did not vote for. Why? Because when they heard me teach and heard me pray, they thought my prayer was leaning towards another party. Meanwhile, that was just truth I was praying. I was just praying. God, the person that will do this according to your word, this I wrote how to behave in time of election. People thought I was supporting one party. One of our brothers, when he heard who I voted for, he was surprised. He said, boss, I said, go on and listen to my message carefully. It's just that while I was preaching truth, it seemed like I was saying something that you wanted to believe. You don't pray your political persuasion. You don't listen, Israel, when they were going to be delivered from captivity, the person that delivered them was not an Israelite. He worshipped all kinds of gods. He told everybody, go and sacrifice to your God. You know why? God knows what he's doing. Because he wanted peace in his kingdom. So we thought that, you know, Cyrus, you know, let the oppressed go free. He let everybody go free, not only the Jews. He wanted to him was that if you pray to your God, I will prosper. So he allowed the Jews to go and do that. And that was a fulfillment of the prophecy concerning their release. If they were supposed to choose the ruler, the ruler said, arise, O Lord, and raise a son of David. Let him ascend on the throne of Babylon, or of the Medes and the Persians. Let him become the ruler. The way you, of course, things they have seen before. The way you elevated Joseph in Egypt. Lord, let Joseph arise again. God said, the time of Joseph has passed. This is the time of Cyrus. It's the time of Darius. Forget all of these things. So that's why we don't pray our political persuasion. How do we pray for the country? It's simple. Because the political crisis. Remember, the will of God must be prayed into existence. We don't assume it. We pray it. So they tell you that is the president, the vice president taking over? He's not taking over. Don't argue. Pray the will of God into existence. What is the will of God? You go to Daniel chapter 4. And you take that scripture. The Almighty rules in the affairs of man. I feel like reading it. Daniel chapter 4. Says upon it the lowliest of them all. Let's just read it. That is how you pray the will of God, though. When we're talking about the will of God, it's not just God, anything you like, do. That's not the meaning of the will of God. That's not the meaning of the will of God. The will of God simply means that which you have spoken, we authorize, is doing on the earth. Are you getting my point? Let's just read Daniel chapter 4. Let's read verse, so many of them. Let me just take the one I read. Okay, 17. All right. It says that this sentence is by the decree of the angelic watchers, and the decision is a command of the holy ones, in order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whom he wishes, sets over it the lowliest of men. Very important verse of scripture. That is what Christians pray. That is what Christians pray. He repeated the same thing in verse 25. He said that 7 periods will pass over you until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever he wishes. Those are the things that we pray. We keep declaring those words. He said, we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth, which means because of us, God is going to bring a ruler, all right, that will cause us to prosper. Are you getting my point? He says something here. He said, pray for the land in which I'm sending you into. He said, because in his prosperity, you will prosper. How do you pray for that land? Seek his good. Ask God for mercy for that land. He taught them. He said, this is how I wanted to pray. I wanted to pray for kings, for rulers, for those who are in authority, that you may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and all, in peace and godliness, whatever. Now, the point I'm trying to make here is this. We put those things together and use them to pray. First, we recognize that PDP does not choose the leader. Babangida, Obasanjo, and Absalami, they do not choose the ruler. They don't. Their decree is not what will come to pass, but it's the decree of the Almighty. We go to prayer with that attitude. Now, people say that, Lord, you will confirm Oshibajo as the president. That's a very, very wrong prayer point. That prayer point is not based on faith. That is how every pastor, not every, I was not one of them. That's how most pastors were gathering to pray that good Lord Jonathan will win election. It didn't come from my mouth one time, even though I voted for him. And I was planning to vote for him. And my reason why I was going to vote for him was not because they were not corrupt. I knew this government was very funny. I had my other reason. I won't discuss it now. But those were my personal persuasions of unbelief. Do you hear what I said? It's unbelief now. Unbelief is when you are walking according to the flesh, according to the hearing of your ears. I wasn't walking by revelation, but you know what the discipline the Lord had taught me was that I did not spread my unbelief to you. As a pastor, never spread your unbelief to anybody. Are you getting my point? Even if you don't agree, speak the word of God. No, I know what I want to tell you. As a Christian, don't argue your opinion. You see, everybody's entitled to his own opinion, not including you. You are one person that God has removed the right to your own opinion from. You don't have your opinion. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I like that your amen. It means you believe me. I don't have my opinion. I only have the word of God as my opinion. Because that's what's running the world today. People say that, gay people are not harming everybody. Who said they were harming somebody? If a man decides he wants to marry a man, that's none of your business. It's only in their homes. Did I say it was my business? Okay, what are you saying, therefore? I said God said it's an abomination. That's all I said. I didn't tell you what I thought. I read a book out to you. So what's your problem? Go and meet the author. You can quarrel with me that I'm a Christian. Yes, that's the personal quarrel. But as the opinion I hold, you can't. You can't quarrel with the opinion because it's not my opinion. I like the way, initially they ruffled the young pastor, but later he corrected himself. Joel Austin. First time, he was trying to. Next time I was watching this one, He said, what do you think about homosexuality? He said, I don't know. God says it is wrong. It must be wrong. That day I said, this man, you have become wise. He said, I don't know. I respect everybody. We respect everybody. But if God says it's wrong, it must be wrong. It's not me. No, it's God. You call me a pastor. No, I like the answer that day. The man didn't give his opinion. He gave God's opinion. That is how you should answer every situation. No matter how much you disagree. You know, because many things will occur in your life that your flesh will disagree with from the beginning to the end. One day, your sister you love the most, who your father is fond of the most, will tell you that the guy she wants to marry is this fellow. And everything you don't like, that guy represents. According to the flesh. Except that when he opens his mouth, the word of God comes out. Is he born again? In fact, he's the gold standard for measuring born-againness. That's Standard Organization of Nigeria. They put him on a scale to use to measure everybody else. Yes, he's from Maiduguri. I know you don't like people from there. He's everything. In fact, he used to smoke Igbo until he gave his life to Christ 2 years ago. You don't like this guy. Let's be honest. And your sister said, what do you think? You just don't say anything, no. Just open the Bible. If any man is in Christ, he's in you. Don't say anything more than that. And that is, he doesn't like where he's from. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. Just hold your breath. When she goes away, Lord, you know I don't like the idea. When she comes back again, say, what do you think? I've been praying about it, and henceforth, I know no man after the flesh. She mustn't hear your opinion. What are you doing with your opinion? No, pastors get carried away sometimes. Sister wants to marry, and you want her to marry. Then she now brings a man that's not born again. Then now start twisting it. If he's nice. You know, there are some Christians that don't let their wives go to church. But this guy is nice. From what you have told me, you know, no matter how much you like the guy, just simply keep quiet, pastor. What do you say? He said, hey, that guy doesn't look like a believer. Your opinion, you hold it. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Then tell her, wait outside. Father God, but the guy is nice. So. Lord, look at the man. Good man. Then she comes back. I said, for what fellowship has light with darkness? That is your whole... Your opinion you don't have. Say, pastor, let's be real. Let's just be real. Let's leave this thing aside. What do you really think? My sister, if I think I will die. don't tempt me. Don't provoke me, I beg. So, pastor, you don't have an opinion. I don't have. But what are you saying? What you are saying? Okay, what I'm saying. Open the Bible again. You read it out. This man says this in a very interesting manner. This man, I quote his book a lot of time. The Business by the Book, Larry Bucket. So a man came to him. He had been treated very badly by another Christian. So he told him everything that guy had done that was wrong. So that man said he's thinking of suing the believer. They are going to court. Say, what do you think, pastor? Larry Bucket said, you want to know what I think? I will tell you. I think that guy deserves it. You should go to court. You should sue him for everything he has. Get the best lawyers. Go after him. Tooth and toenail. Drag him to court. That's what I think. That guy said, thank you, thank you. He wanted to get up. He said, wait. That's what I think. Let me now tell you what the Lord thinks. Sit down. He now opened the Bible. That you are a believer? Yes. The other guy is a believer? Yes. Two of you are going to drag yourselves before unbelieving judges? Said Jesus said no. See that guy? He was deflated. He said, I've told you what I think, but let me now tell you what the Lord thinks. He read scriptures out to him and said, if I will give you the word of God, I'm sorry, that lawsuit has just come to an end. I won't discuss that one further than that. I don't want to bring up discussion. But I just want to bring out this fact that is how we behave as believers. So back to what I was saying. So, What I thought, it was irrelevant. My political persuasion was irrelevant. It did not come out from my mouth on this pulpit. You can't put one of my messages where you could guess who I was planning to vote for. Everybody that guessed, who didn't speak to me personally, guessed wrong. Because when they heard what I said, in fact, the message I wrote, one brother said he forwarded to everybody he knew. In the time of elections, how a Christian is supposed to behave. I said, vote according to what you know is right. That is, your vote is a statement. It doesn't mean you are right, ultimately. But if you hate, if corruption isn't that the strongest in your mind, vote against it. If something is the strongest in your mind, vote against it. Each vote is a statement. They might rig you out, doesn't matter. But God has counted your votes. You're not voting. You know, Christians are very funny. Some Christians will get up and come talk. You're not crazy, human beings. I told one of my classmates, one of my roommates, who was staying in the same room, you know, we had a big room in Hall 4 in Uniben. Law student. He came one day, was complaining. They just did a law election. There was one guy who campaigned. He said, the guy is stupid. The guy has no sense. He abused that guy. I said, now, wow. They finished the discussion with what? Well, I voted for him, Sha. I said, what did you say, Paulo? He said, I voted for him. You know, he's my brother. I just realized that human beings are the most useless things God made. I said, what? No, you can't appreciate how I felt. Except you were there and you saw this guy for like 30 minutes rail against how useless this boy is. How he can't even speak good English. How he will never carry the association forward. He doesn't know what his type, alright, somebody like him is doing. Contesting for Lossa presidency. What is he looking for there? Who gave him sense? I'm not kidding. I'm not adding. Look, he said worse things that I've told you. For up to 30 minutes. And I said, but anyway, Sha. And he was angry. You know why? He said, the guy won. Oh, yes, that's why he was angry. And I said, anyway, Sha, I voted for him. I said, Polo, what did you say? He said, you see, he's my brother. They're not blood brothers, though. They're just from the same local government. Many people are complaining about the country. That's the problem. That's the problem God has. He said, their prayer and their behavior is not the same. They are Christians today. Now, if God showed it to them, that listen, the guy who, okay, the prophecy of Nebuchadnezzar is coming to pass. I'm bringing a president from Adamawa State. They say, lie, we don't need a president. We don't need a president. We don't need. How do Christians pray? Listen, we take what God has said. In that situation, that Romans, Daniel chapter 4, that verse 17, verse 25, we keep on reading it out. Almighty rules in the affairs of man. And he gives the kingdoms of, let me just read that, okay, New American Standard. The Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it, the kingdom, over to whomever he wishes. He said he sets upon it the lowliest of men. What does it mean to be the lowliest? The least likely, the least qualified, the one that doesn't have the certificates the other people have. Are you getting my point? The lowliest. He said that's what he does. But when I said to him, you said that you will give us rulers so that we can live in peace and in tranquility. You understand? That's what you're going to give us. So Lord, in the name of Jesus, we receive from your hand a ruler of justice. We receive from your hand a ruler that will let the gospel progress. Because that's the primary thing. There must be freedom to preach the gospel. A man who will establish, a woman, whoever it is, who will establish truth, who will establish righteousness, who will establish justice in the land. We receive from you because only you can give it. I don't care whether the name is Oshibaji or not. Forget, look, that is, I'll mention nobody's name. I may like the man personally. Last time he acted, he was so popular. But don't forget now, please, Brother Oshibaji, I love you very much. You know, I'm not saying you are, I'm not saying anything like that about you. Absalom was more popular. You know that? But it was not God's choice. Absalom, if it was democracy, thank God he did not see democracy. Absalom will have won and won and won again. There are many Nigerian politicians I see. I can see the Absalomic spirit in them. They give charity. What do they call it? They donate money. They are philanthropists. They are going anywhere saying the best things. One day somebody saw. They took a picture of this guy, Adamawa guy, former VP, Obasanjo's VP. Yes, Atiku. He was drinking water from a sachet, you know, pure water. So they photographed him. One man said, these politicians. He's drinking water from, you know, he's drinking pure water. I think another election is close. By the time big man, they drink water inside bag. So he's trying to pretend. The guy said, we are not fooled. You want to pretend like you're one of the commoners. That was what Absalom did. Absalom listens to everybody. He will come, he will listen to you. Say, ah, your case is good. You come to greet him, he will rise up to receive you. Stole everybody's heart. I don't know anybody. I don't pray that anybody up there should win election. I don't know. How do we pray? We just take the word of God. The word of God is alive. Are you getting my point? Now, so that's the will of God. So when we talk about God's will is not God, what do you want to know? Like, no, it's what he has expressed. It's not anything that happens is the will of God. No. It's that which he has expressed. And let me just end with this. We take that thing and do what with it? We keep it up. We keep it up. That's Christian prayer. We take that will and do what? Keep it up. That is, we don't explain it, we just keep it up. Please, we are praying for the country, that's how you pray for the country. You don't go there and be saying, Lord, I've had prayer points. There's a cabal that's around the president. Lord, break the cabal. You don't know who put the cabal there or what they are doing. Are you getting my point? You don't know. Leave it alone. Have you seen the cabal? Have you seen their registration form? The cabal of Nigeria, members declared, trustees. Nothing like that. These are all comments from people outside. They don't think themselves a cabal. I hope you know. Look, I don't have time. Look, let me not spend all the time talking. If you read your Bible, many of the things we make noise about, they were done in the scriptures. We don't like it. The chiefs of David's army at the time, they were all brothers. The three top ranking men in David's army were brothers. Try that in Nigeria. The army of God over Israel, for Israel, the physical army of God. David appointed three men, they were brothers. Joab, Abishai, what's the name of the third guy? Anyway, Joab's brothers, Joab and his brothers were in charge. Nobody said that, how can they be in the same, from the same family? Jesus appointed just 12 apostles. Two of them were brothers. And they were related to another one. Yeah. About four of them were very close. All of them from the same place. If it's now, nobody will follow. Jesus is tribalistic. Jesus, how can he do like that? And no woman. No woman. And I see women's rights. They will now call Mary Magdalene. And now send the Beijing panel to the mother. To go and see the mother. Say, talk to your son. Many of the things that Jesus did, or they did under the law, we will not accept them today. We will not accept them. We will not accept them. But read your Bible well. That's how God wanted it. That's why don't pray. If you think God is in your political party, he's not. It does not believe in your tribal sentiments. Can I digress for a moment? I said something once. Because of the way human beings behave, the hardest thing God has to do now, the hardest task he has is blessing them. Blessing them is hard. Do you know why? Anytime he sends a Messiah, he's rejected. I said something once. I don't know whether I was there, I said it all the way. I said, look, if Jesus is appointed minister of power in Nigeria now, and is head of state, he can't give Nigerians constant power. People say, no, he can do anything. I say, I know, he knows. I'm just saying that it's not only what he can do, but what people can receive. Two of them go together. He said he came unto his own. His own did what? Did not receive him. That's just the way it is. He came to his hometown. He could there do no mighty work. Because of his inability? No, because of their unbelief. Many things we pray for, when government brings the policies that will bring the thing to birth, people reject those policies. I don't want to be analyzing it now. You don't want to talk to the average person. Average person on the road, that's why God does not believe in democracy. Say, because if I try democracy, they will vote for fools every day. A fool just come and say, I will tie all your roots. Yes. Your children will go to Harvard, all of them. You don't have to pay them. Yes. And nobody will pay taxes again. Yes. By the way, power will be uninterrupted. And for each day you have constant power, just give government a bucket of water and everything will be fine. They will say yes. And they will campaign for the person vigorously. And when the fellow loses, as an example, they will say the cabal did not want those who will liberate the masses to rule. Just by the way, hey, I'm saying many things. We'll get to our prayer, but you know, it's good to say many things. People get enlightened. You know how, why education was organized the way it was in the United States? Europe didn't have it like that. US made it a rule to educate everybody. Look, at the time, all right, parents, in certain states in the US, parents were compelled to teach their children how to read and write. Children there didn't used to go to school until they've learned to read and write. They don't go to school to learn to read and write. Parents taught you at home how to read and write. After that, you now start going to school. You know the reason? They said, so that you will be governable. Americans said, people must be literate so that they can be governable. That illiterates are impossible to govern. So Americans entrenched that everybody must go to school. You must learn. Because if you don't learn, you are a bad citizen. Won't be able to communicate with you. That's why it's difficult for you to just go and tell them, I will tie all your roads. They say, what is the bill? No. You want to campaign to typical enlightened people. I will tie all your roads. They want to know. How much will it cost? Where will you get the money from? This one, you will tie all our roads. It's not our tax you are going to use to tie it. That's the kind of question enlightened people ask. But like I said, let me not sit down talking politics. I'm talking about prayer. So God is not in our political party. He doesn't have our political persuasion. He doesn't understand our tribal sentiments. If he wants to appoint Joab again, say, David, bring Joab, two of his brothers, be the head of Nigeria army. And of course, you know the way those who are not from the tribe of Joab, they will gather and say, how come three brothers? God said, David, don't listen to them. What am I going to say? So that's why we Christians, we pray with what? The word. You must fight. Don't let your own opinion come in. People say things like, oh, these old men should go and retire. The Bible never said so. In fact, the Bible says that they are wiser than you. Do you agree? Who cares? Do you have an opinion? Answer me. Do you have an opinion? Good. We don't have opinions. We just have the word of God. You are getting my point. So will you pray for the country? Let's rise to our feet. Let's do it. Let's rise to our feet. Just watching my time. Prayer is not my will. No. It's me taking my will and subjecting it to the will of God. I'm not saying to God, bring your will, adapt it to mine. Which is what many people pray. When God doesn't change his mind, they say, we'll fast until he changes his mind. God says, okay, let's see who can last without eating. Believe me, if you persuade God to change his mind, at the end of the day, you will not be blessed for it. Prayer is not, God, do what I want. No. Prayer is, Lord, this is what you have said you will do. Now, do that which you said you will do. Let's take a moment and pray for Nigeria. At a time like this. Your prayer is not, you're not angry with anybody. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
Please, if you're a member of APC, call your friend in PDP today and gist with him. There's no need for anger. You want to pray for Nigeria? This is how you pray. You first, you give thanks. Every prayer starts with what?
Amen.
Thanksgiving. You know what Thanksgiving is about? Thanksgiving says, Lord, we recognize you as king. Lord, we know there is no accident here. We did not appear out of nothing. You made us. You created us. We're created for your pleasure. For your pleasure, we exist. Your will is what we want to do. That's me of Thanksgiving. You don't speak anything that is not revealed. People say, no, Nigeria was not created by God. Who said so? To whom? On what occasion? When he's tired of it, if he doesn't like the way it is, he puts it to pieces. And this world, they are always breaking and rejoining. Europe was many countries, they wanted they came together. They said they are forming what? European Union. Before that time, they were big countries, then they split into pieces. Where's Yugoslavia? Where's Czechoslovakia? There was a time Germany was east and west. Then one day God said, enough. Then they joined back together again. So you don't know. Are you getting my point? You say, what do we have in common? Hausas, Yorubas, Fulanis, these are Urubos, Zibos, Ziba, these are. God said, you have something in common, all of you are black, can't you see? of you are black. I'm going to also unite you with Somalia. Sit down there. Oh, Lord. There are enough differences. If you get to Israel those days, they were so angry with, was it Benjamin? The rest of Israel wanted to wipe out Benjamin in one day. They had differences too. So forget all of those things. You just give God thanks for what you have met. In everything, you give thanks. Let's start with that. Let's just thank the Lord. Just give thanks. Say, Lord, I thank you because you are God. Lord, I thank you. You are the one that sets boundaries. Lord, I thank you because you are the creator. Lord, I thank you. You are the one in charge. You rule over the realm of mankind. Lord, I thank you. You rule over the realm of mankind. You rule. Thank you for this nation. Thank you for this continent. Thank you for where I was born. Thank you for my citizenship. I am not an accident. I am not an accident. I am not an accident. The nation I was born in is not an accident. Lord, I thank you. I worship you. I think you should just raise your hands and worship him from the bottom of your heart. Repent of every negative thought of saying that it's Lord Lugard. It's not Lord Lugard. It's not the British. The heavens rule. Heavens rule. The Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. The Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. You will see, Daniel had epochs described for him. When you saw that statue, that head of gold, you understand, down to the feet of mixed with clay and iron. These were things that were going to happen over the next hundreds of years. He was the one that determined it. Worship him. Acknowledge him. Say, God, you are the ruler over the realm of mankind. Thank you for my nation, Nigeria. Thank you for my nation, whichever country you are in and you are listening to this. Thank God for your country. Thank God for your country. That's the only thing you can do. Nobody gave you inkling or any inside story on what happened, what did not happen. All you know is life as it is right now. You have met your country like this. Thank God for it. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. Say, Lord, I thank you. I worship you. I acknowledge you as king. I acknowledge you as king. Now, let's begin to pray at this time for the political situation in the, you know, in Aso Rock, in the seat of government in Nigeria. Remember, we are not praying our desire. No, we are not praying what we think. We are not praying that. We are praying what? The will of God. So let's begin to pray that. Let's start by, you know, he said he has elevated his word together with his name. Literal Hebrew, Psalm 138. He said he has elevated his word together with his name. As high as God's word is, so is his name. As high as his name is, so is his word. So when you are praying the will of God, one thing you do is to take the name of God and declare it. And declare as the Most High, the ruler. Let's start over now. This is how I do it. This is what the Lord has taught me over the last few years. I want to pray. In my mind, I conceive the situation. And I just lift God's name over it. Like Nigeria right now, they say, okay, where's the president? Who's the VP? Who's taking over? Who's not taking over? Don't have that discussion. Just leave the name of God over it. Now say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Lord, you are the Most High.
Lord, you are the Most High.
You are the ruler over the realm of mankind.
You are ruler in
Nigeria.
In the name of
Jesus. That's a prayer. That is a prayer. Let me just give you a minute. Say it any way you like it. Just for 1 minute. Just leave the name of God. Declare his name in your way, in your language, whichever way you want to say it. Just declare him as the ruler over this nation, over the seat of government. He's the ruler. He's the ruler. He's the ruler. I'll be reading the scripture out. Use it to pray as you like. Say, Lord, you are the Most High. Say, Lord, you are the ruler over the realm of mankind. This is what the Bible says. It said, the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind. And bestows it on whom he wishes. And sets over it the lowliest of men. That's what the situation. Now just say, Lord, you are the ruler. Declare his rulership over this country at this point in time. That's what prayer is. Now listen to this. The Bible says, because he has said, therefore we can boldly say. Are you getting my point? Now this is what prayer now is. Because you know this, if you want to pray over that situation, you can go ahead and say, Lord, appoint your man in the name of Jesus. Appoint the person that will do your will in the name of Jesus. Sustain the person that will do your will in office in the name of Jesus. Simple prayer. You don't know, you see, you don't have more details than that. Are you getting my point? So say with me, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
The ruler the Lord appoints.
The ruler the Lord appoints.
The ruler that he wants.
The ruler that he wants.
The ruler that will do his will.
The ruler that will do his will.
The ruler that will do his desire.
Sit upon that seat.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
That's our Christian's prayer. You don't know any name. No, you don't. But you can bless the seed. You can say after me, say like this, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
This seed
will receive the one
who will do the will of God.
Who will promote righteousness.
Who will promote justice.
Who will promote freedom for the gospel.
Who will defend the right of the oppressed.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, we have prayed for this land.
And we are the salt of the earth.
So we say, prosperity will come.
And the ruler will cooperate.
In the name of Jesus.
Say, we declare
that peace will come.
And the one who will do the will of God
will sit upon that throne.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
That is how Christians pray. Listen, if you lift God's word, you know, the Bible says that the word is alive and what?
Active.
That is, if you go to your local government, you go to the local government headquarters, you sit down and prophesy these words over that seat. The one that wants to do wickedness, he will fall sick and die. They will impeach him. You have not said anybody die. Or die by fire. It's fear that is making people die by fire. Just wake up and then die by fire, you know? You are afraid. The day Zipelatia, that's his name, the way he fell down, the day he fell down and died. Jeremiah was crying for him. Jeremiah got up, thus says the Lord. Then the man suddenly fell down and he died. Jeremiah said, wake up now, why are you dying? Did I mention your name? I was just prophesying my own. He went back home and was angry with God. He said, Lord, you want to kill everybody? I just came to talk. I just said, thus says the Lord, somebody come fall down and die. You know why the man fell down and he died? Because the word is alive and active. The word knows who to kill and who to keep alive. That's what, how the word behaves. If you take this, listen, there's a reason why God made us the way he made us. He made us from different places, from different states. He has put the duty in our hands. People like me, he gave it to us in one state and brought us to another state. He said, pray for this state. Thank God I live near the government house. It's good. You should park your car near there and you'll be looking there. And don't do anything. Just be reading scripture for them. I'm telling you, I pray we'll get the power in the word of God. Just be reading scripture over the situation. You bless God for the seat. Leave the name of God over it. Pray for the man who's sitting down there. Then begin to declare God's word. People think that, you see, let me tell you the truth. You can pray for somebody, bless him with blessing, and the blessing will kill him. Yes. It happens. And the prayer is too weighty. It falls on somebody's head and the person dies. That one, you know, that one, your soul is saved. It's not you. That one, the word takes the responsibility for it. That is how Christians pray. Let's again, all right? Let's just one more time in our own words. Let's just bless the nation. Bless your state. Enough of criticism. Your criticism is not, you know, first, it's just as useless as criticizing football. You don't play it. That is one. It doesn't help anything. Then number two, you are emitting negative vibes and it's making life more difficult for the rulers. So don't do that. So it's begin to just bless them. Bless them. Utter the word of God. In the name of Jesus, prosperity will come into the land. Because God said I should seek the good of the land. If he didn't want to do it, he would not have said I should seek the good. So good will come to this land in the name of Jesus. As it is written, seek the good of the land which I have sent you to. He says, seek, interpret the Lord for the prosperity of that land. So that in the name of Jesus you might prosper. Say, Lord, this is your will. Therefore, I ask for prosperity upon my local government. I ask for prosperity over Enugu state. This is our state. We live here. Whatever state you are in, you pray like that. In the name of Jesus, I ask for prosperity over Nigeria. It is written, the Almighty rules in the affairs of man. You know, I ask for it in the name of you. Lord, you said I should ask. You said, this is what I will have the children of Israel ask me for. I will increase their men as a flock. That when God says ask for something, it is because he wants to do it. You said, seek the good of the land that I'm causing you to dwell in. Seek that Lord. Ask the Lord. Make petitions to the Lord for it. That means the Lord wants to bless the land. So in the name of Jesus, we pray for Nigeria and we say,
peace be upon her in the name of Jesus. The Lord saw injustice and he was displeased. Injustice displeases the Lord. Lord, let your displeasure be removed from this land. Injustice be gone in the name of Jesus. It's the word of God we are praying. The Lord saw injustice and he was displeased. So we speak to injustice. You are displeasing to the Lord. We speak to the injustice. You are displeasing to the Lord. So this is the word of the Lord over the land. Arise, O Lord, let your enemy be scattered. Everything that displeases you, let it be scattered. Everything that displeases you, let it be scattered. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Everything that displeases you, my Lord, let it be scattered out of this land. Because the Lord saw injustice and he was displeased. So arise, O Lord. Let those things that displease you, let them be scattered. Bring prosperity into the land. Bring peace to the land. Bring freedom. Let the gospel advance in this land. As it is written, as it is written, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus will advance. And nothing, nobody will be able to stop it. The gates of hell will not be able to stop it. He said clearly, he said that of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. We read that scripture over Nigeria. Of the increase of the government of Jesus and of peace, there will be no end. Of the increase of the government of the Lord Jesus and of peace, there will be no end. Therefore, we say, the gospel shall advance. It is written, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Lord, we go. The door is open for us. A great and effectual door is open in the name of Jesus. In this country, no door will close against the gospel of Jesus. As it is written, the gates of hell will not prevail against the advance of the church of Christ. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We are reading the word of God. We are uttering the word of God over the land. As a result of the entrance of the word, this land will prosper. Peace will be upon it in the name of Jesus. The land will prosper. Peace will be upon it in the name of Jesus. The land will prosper. Peace will be upon it. Let's give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we give you thanks. Say, Lord, we give you thanks. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed. Please just give me a few more minutes. I'd like to do this. One, health is not because you desire it. It's because Jesus paid for it. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Your desire is secondary. You know, doctors could have given a verdict concerning your situation in life, and they are pretending like it is final. When you read the word of God, you have a new expectation. Are you getting my point here? So what do I do? If you have enough detail, speak against what is negative. But whether you have it or not, the word can read. The word can probe. It can go into certain parts of your body to go in there and check what is wrong and correct what is wrong. That, you know what the word is trying to do? To fulfill itself. Many people that fulfilled the word of God in the life of Jesus Christ, they did not know what they were doing. It's later on that Jesus taught the disciples and they recorded it that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken, that it might be fulfilled that which was written. Are you getting my point? Joseph ran with Mary and Jesus to Egypt. And then one day an angel woke him up and said, go back home. And later we heard that it might be fulfilled what was written. Out of Egypt I have called my son. Joseph was not trying to obey that word. The word was fulfilling itself.
Yes.
Are you getting my point?
Yes.
That word provoked the angel to carry him. Yeah, come, get up, go back home. Are you getting my point here? That's how it works. The word fulfills itself. It says, seek from the book of the Lord and read. None of these shall fail, neither will any lack its meat. He was talking about strange animals being found in strange places and being found in enough concentration to have meat. He said, why? That's the emphasis. He said, because when the mouth of the Lord commands, his spirit goes out to gather. If the mouth of the Lord commands healing, the spirit goes out to perform surgery. Are you getting my point here? You don't need the fine details. It's not the fine details you need. What you need is the word spoken over that area. So listen to this. Himself took your infirmities and your diseases.
Amen.
And by his stripes you have been healed.
Amen.
Now say after me, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
From the top of my head,
to the soles of my feet.
I am healed.
I am healed.
Because Jesus took it.
My sicknesses,
my pains,
he took all of them
and left healing for me.
And
he gave me his health.
He gave me
I have the health of Christ
walking in me.
From the top of my head
to the soles of my feet.
From the surface of my skin
to the core of my bones.
Healing is there.
And is
walking.
In the name of Jesus.
The Red Cross will say, if it is true, then give him thanks. Just give him thanks.
He said, just say, Lord, I thank you.
Remember, the word is working.
That's effective prayer.
We are subjecting our will, not our own.
We are subjecting our will to that of the Father.
We are not holding on to our own will.
We are saying, Lord, it is your will that will be done.
And that's what he has declared.
Let me just say it again.
The will of God doesn't mean that God heal me if it is your will.
He has said it's written in the word. Jesus paid for it.
So that is the will. You don't create uncertainty after what he has spoken expressly.
You are getting my point?
You do not create uncertainty out of what he has spoken expressly.
Let the word settle it.
Let the word settle it.
Let the word settle it.
It will take care of itself.
But the doctor said, there are things,
I've realized that you can provoke God to anger. You know you want to provoke him to anger.
He will say one thing, you will say the opposite.
It is passionately annoying to him.
He kills people for it.
Why he just not kill you suddenly is that he realized that stupidity is your problem.
So he will wait to correct you.
Let me tell you how God is serious about it. He told people, "Go, I have given you a promised land. Go there and take the land." They came and said, "We can't take the land." He said, "Are you calling me stupid?" Said, "There are giants in the land. Are you calling me blind?" Said, "They are very tall. Are you calling me insensitive?" I said, "Go in and take the land." You know what they were supposed to say? Though there are giants in the land, though we are few in number, though they are a multitude, though they have 45 cities, we can take the land. Boy, can you take the land?
Yes.
Are we going in? Yes. Are you planning to go? Just wait. Just be saying it here.
I'm telling you.
They finally somebody said, can take the land. After they say enough time, they will move forward one inch.
We can take the land, you move forward 1 mile.
We can take the land. After a while, if you are not sure, close your eyes and just be shouting, we can take the land. We can take the land. That's what God wants. As silly as it sounds, that's what he wanted. I found out he never said, go and spy the city. It was when they said, we want to go and spy, that Moses said, all right, go ahead. He said, what are you spying for? Just go and take the land. Don't ever disagree with God. Don't have an opinion. Are you getting my point? Don't have what?
An opinion.
Don't have an opinion. Yes, doctors have said their own, and your mind is believing it. Let your mouth refuse to agree. What will happen? The word will take care. The word will settle. It works different ways according to people's levels of faith, but the word works. It works. The doctor's word is not final. It's an opinion. Even we in medicine, we know it. We say, go and find what? His second opinion. Sometimes, you know, they finish doing tests, doing everything. They say, this man has the disease. The patient looks at it. And maybe his consultant looks and says, no, we need a second what? Opinion. Sometimes they get a third opinion. That's to let you know that it's just what? An opinion. And the word of the Lord is what? Final. God's word is the opinion we hold on to. And I like that word. It's very simple. Even a child can understand it. That is, no need for details. Himself took my infirmities. It means that somebody paid so that I would be well. Jesus paid so I would be well. How does it work? I don't know. But that's what he said. What is your opinion? I don't have any opinion. He just said that I'm well. I believe it. But you are feeling sick. That's my feelings opinion. The one I'm holding on to is the word of God. Believe me, you hold that thing up. After a while, the body starts rearranging to conform with that which has been spoken. Let's declare it again. Say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
He took my infirmities.
He took my infirmities.
Nailed them to his cross.
Nailed them to his cross.
Buried them in his grave.
Buried them in his grave.
And he rose up well.
And he rose up well.
And gave me the health.
And gave me the health.
By his stripes,
by his stripes,
I have been healed.
I have been healed.
The same spirit that raised him from the dead,
is working now in me.
And is giving life to my mortal body.
Is curing my brain,
my skin,
my eyes,
is giving clear vision to my eyes,
is removing glaucoma,
cataract,
is removing every affliction.
Say, my eyes see clearly.
Pain is gone from my eyes
because Jesus died for it.
My nose is healed.
My mouth is healed.
My teeth are healed.
Every part of my neck,
every part of my chest,
every part of my stomach,
everywhere down to my feet,
my bones,
health,
that's their portion.
Now speak to your body. Say, body,
hear ye the word of the Lord.
He took your infirmities.
Now you are healed.
That's God's opinion.
Let's say thank you one more time.
Just say, Father, we thank you.
Concerning your finances, let's declare the word of God again.
We can't do these things enough.
This is the word of the Lord. Let's first get it out. This is God's word.
In all that you do, you prosper.
Amen.
You are like a tree firmly planted by streams of water.
Amen.
You are not a tree that's in a dry land waiting for one rain to fall.
Amen.
You are one planted beside the streams of water.
Amen.
You will yield your fruit in your season.
Amen.
In your season, your fruit will come forth.
Amen.
That's what Jesus died for. The Bible says we know the grace of the Lord Jesus. This is the word of God. He was rich for your sake. He became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Now I say to you, you have been made rich.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now declare concerning yourself, say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I have been made rich.
I have been made rich.
The ancestral curse of poverty,
the ancestral curse of
poverty has been broken.
Has been broken.
It's no longer my portion.
It's no longer my portion.
I am free in Christ.
I am free in Christ.
I am blessed
with
all kinds of spiritual blessings.
All kinds of spiritual blessings.
And I am a blessing.
I'm a giver.
Say it, I'm a giver.
I'm a giver.
I delight in giving.
I delight in giving.
Now, do you know why? Because there is more blessed to give than to receive. Say it, I am a giver.
I am a giver.
Even if I don't have something in my hands, I'm a giver.
I am a giver.
Say, I am a giver.
I am a giver.
Always giving.
Always
because
giving.
I am blessed.
Because I am blessed.
Poverty has been broken.
Poverty has been broken.
Out of my life.
Say,
I have passed out of poverty.
I have passed into abundance.
Say, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd.
I will not lack any good thing.
He is supplying all my need according to his riches in glory. Now join me in this, my favorite scripture. Say, behold, he causes prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream.
My needs are supplied.
I have abundance.
I'm a blessing to other people.
Say it, my needs are supplied.
I have abundance.
I'm a blessing to other people.
Say, lack is not my portion.
Everywhere I go, I create wealth.
Not only am I blessed,
I'm a creator of wealth
according to the word of the Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Let's just declare this. Say, my family is blessed.
My
environment is blessed.
Because I am blessed.
Through me,
God is sending his blessing.
I am the salt of the earth.
I am the light of the world.
This is the word of God concerning me.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, long life is my portion.
In my going out and my coming in,
I am protected.
The rod of the wicked
will not rest upon my lot.
Deliverance is my portion.
Because I am in Christ.
Now the Bible says, he that abides in the secret place of the Most High,
alright, shall abide,
who that dwells, I wanted to say, in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
When you are under the shadow, you are under the covering, the influence.
The Lord is your defense.
Amen.
Is it the shield around you?
Amen.
No evil will befall you.
Amen.
No plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Kidnappers can't get you.
Amen.
If they come, they can't hold you.
Amen.
Because you are freed by the power of Christ.
Amen.
You are free.
Amen.
You have been set free.
Amen.
Nothing will keep you in bondage.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now that's what Jesus paid for, not what you achieve by yourself.
Let's give this Jesus a thank you.
Just thank him.
I think we should do that.
Say, Jesus, you are the one that paid for all of these things.
It's not me.
My children are blessed.
Say it, my children are blessed.
My family is blessed.
My friends are blessed.
Everything I touch is blessed.
In all that I do, I prosper. 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 I bless people. I create wealth. The Lord has given me the power to get wealth. I have the power to get wealth. I have the power to get wealth. Doors open to me. The Bible says he surrounds the righteous with favor as with his shield. Declare it, I am surrounded with favor as with a shield. I am surrounded with favor as with a shield. Declare it, I'm surrounded with favor as with a shield. Let me just tell you this as we close. Listen, have that blessed attitude. What I mean by that is that go out and say, look, I'm a blessing. I'm surrounded with favor. If you are looking for a job, don't like, which job can pay me better? No, stop that poverty mentality thing. We enter the place, how can I bless people here? I'm a blessing. How can I bless people? I'm a blessing. Anywhere you're working, if they are paying you 10 naira, make sure that they are getting at least 20 naira out of your labor. That should be, this money they are paying me, they should be getting more than that. All this one of them, how much are they paying me? Don't say that. If you are blessed, the Bible says that Jacob made Laban rich. Then God rewarded Jacob. Laban could not reward Jacob. He tried to cheat Jacob 10 times. But God made Jacob rich. Don't look at your boss that he'll be the one to make you rich. He doesn't have that capacity. He doesn't have that capacity. In fact, you don't even want him to have the capacity. Because listen, when Abraham refused the goods of the king of Sodom, he had a reason. He said, I don't want it said that, I don't want to be able to say, I made Abraham rich. There are things you don't want. My boss wanted to make me rich for what? I came here to bless him. In due season, God will make me rich. It's an attitude. Make sure everywhere you go, you leave a blessing for them. You make sure you're the one leaving the blessing. It is better that they don't pay your last salary than they paid you and you didn't work for it. Let them be the one owing you, not you owing anybody. You are getting my point? No, that's Christian's attitude. It's a Christian's attitude. You are not looking for, that the new job, where can you pay me more? If you get to that place, all you do is sit down and pick your teeth and they are paying you more. You have lost your blessing. It's a new job like one of my friends said, when I said, you are moving, he said, man, I needed new challenges. The other one was getting boring. So I needed new challenges. That one is better. Amen. You are a blessing. Amen. Everywhere you go, your mark will be seen.
Amen.
The excellence of God will be seen by your hand.
Amen.
Again, we pray with God's word. This is the word of the Lord. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. We have been called out of this world to show forth the excellences. That's God's word. Say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am excellent.
I am excellent.
With the grace of God. It's working in my life.
In my
and
life.
I impact every situation with the blessing from heaven. Let's give the Lord thanks so we can close. Just give them. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord is good. It's well with you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Can we share the grace in fellowship? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of multiplication and dominion. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please bless somebody on your left or your right. Another person. One more person, please. This is your season of multiplication and dominion. Now, please bless yourself.
This is my season of multiplication and dominion.
All right, cheer up, brethren.